the snow and the thaw. And they took it on men. Yeah, the man would have a contract to take the mail in, and 10 or 12 men, maybe 15, wanted to go to Fairbanks. Well, he'd load them up with mail, 40 pound apiece, and he'd pay their expenses to Fairbanks. Slugging over that trail, boy, it was something. Then he'd pick up some, well, that wanted to get out in Fairbanks, and they'd slog back over the trail. That was before the boats run on the Yukon, and before the mails got to running between winter and summer. That was the tough time of the mail, is when they was between winter and summer. Of course, later on, why, the mail got to going from Fairbanks to, or from Valdez to Fairbanks with bobsleds. That was quite a thing. It was just the same as your old Rockaway sleds, or Rockaway coaches, only they was built on bobsleds and they had four horses. I worked on all of them and drove all kind of their outfits, but to just make a steady diet of it, I just, there's too much beautiful wild country there for me to see to stay on one job too long. I'd stay long enough to make a little grub steak, and then I'd go trapping or prospecting or something. I just never could see enough of it for some reason. Service says doing things just for the doing, letting babblers tell the story, growing bigger in the bigness of the whole. But I think about the most unique thing I ever witnessed was they had ferries across a lot of those rivers before they got bridges, and I was on the Tasleena River, or down below the ferry, and there was a little Indian boy who used to come around quite a bit. One day he come tearing down to my camp, his eyes were bugged out and he was scared to death. And he says, "I see devil." I said, "What do you mean, Gene, you seen devil?" "Oh, sure, devil he come." "Well," I said, "what do you mean, devil he come?" I said, "There ain't no devil, Gene." "Oh, yes, I seen him." He says, "Black white man." Well, he had seen a colored man, the first one that he'd ever seen. And he just couldn't figure out there that was, fellow was blacker than night, and yet he talked like a white man. And he just couldn't quite figure it out. And first he figured out he's a devil, and then he figured out that he must be a black white man. He just didn't know there was such a thing as a black white man. He wasn't black, he was just a chocolate brown, or the Gene was. But the colored fellow, he was really black. And he got to be a quite a fellow up there, too. He was a cook. And, boy, he was a good one. And he got to be in great demand. Of course, he would pull some funny boners. But he was a real cook, and he got to be known all over the country. And so many of them called him the black-white man. And he'd get quite a kick out of that, too, because it was something unusual to have a colored man up there. There's quite a few up there now. When there, you find them around in most all the towns. We used to think that the colored man could only take the South, but you find him clear way north. He's doing fine, I'm telling you. There was just an awful lot of people. A lot of men lost their minds those days in the North. I don't know why it was. But they say more men lost their mind there, according to the population, any place in the world. It would be loneliness, disappointment, I don't know what it was. But it seemed like just all the time there was somebody losing their mind. And they used to bring them out from Fairbanks to Valdez with these double-enders. And there were these bobsleds. And so there was a word come ahead to us. Roadhouse they used to call our home, and there was just a kid there. The family had gone, and the boys on the mail knew that they wanted to job him, and he's kind of a pert sort of a kid. And so the fellow that come ahead of me said, "The next stage load would be crazy ones." He said, "Look out and be careful for them." So they drove in, everybody on that